This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture. From the classic reality TV moments of the past and present, to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval.
Folks, welcome to an all-new So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your pal, Ryan, and this is your Monday episode. As you can tell, I don't know if you can tell from my voice, I am currently going through puberty, and it just feels amazing. No, the classic Ryan. On Wednesday, I think I talked to you last, I did the Vanderpump thing. The recap, sorry you guys, I'm on a lot of medicine, so I don't know how much sense I'm going to make today, but I'm giving it the old college try, the old ASU try. So Wednesday I did the Vanderpump, and I said, hey, I can't wait to recap the Valley, and I'll do that for you guys, and I'll put that out on Saturday, because Thursday's my birthday. And I think I even mentioned I wasn't feeling too great, but, you know, as you get older, I just feel, and especially with me, I just feel like I have a baseline of pain all the time. I'm like, you never feel great. You're just like, I feel okay. You know, like it's always, and then you go to sleep and you feel usually better the next day. So I didn't think much of it. And then Thursday, went to bed after doing that. I was up, you know, 2 a.m. doing that recap, got up and it was my birthday. And I knew I did not feel good. I knew I was sick. But it wasn't COVID, but I knew it, but it was my birthday. So when you have that energy of celebrating your birthday and all of these people that you haven't heard from until, you know, except, you know, the last time was your last birthday. So you're riding that wave of energy for your birthday. So you push through because it's pretty exciting. And also it's a little stressful because, you want attention, but at the same time, you don't want attention. You're like, it's weird. Anywho, had a really nice day. Went to Central Park, and my dad was there. And went to Tavern on the Green for lunch, and it was beautiful. And then went to see Enemy of the People, play by Henrik Ibsen, which actually is starring Jeremy Strong and Michael Imperioli from Sopranos, and Jeremy Strong, of course, from Succession. It's Circle in the Square. Is that where? Yeah. But anyways, I got to see that and it was amazing. But the whole time, I mean, I knew I was like, you know, when you're just like, oh, I'm toast. I'm sick. And I'm just chomping on cough drops, you know, like you're like this, I'm toast after this. And you're like, okay, but if I can just go get a good night's sleep, I'll be okay. I'll rally. This is fine. Still not fully accepting of being sick. And then I get home, you know, I'm like, I go right to bed, but of course I can't sleep. And that's when I decided to take my temperature. And my temperature was like 102.6 or something insanely high. And I was like, oh, that's why I feel this. This is a sign. I'm not insane. I didn't gaslight myself. I actually am fully sick. And that was a bummer. And then it was one of those things that I just couldn't sleep. And then I got delusional around like 4:35 in the morning. I thought I was a wizard and this was like a test. I don't know what it is. Like whenever I get sick, and I've done this once, I remember in college when I got stoned for the first time. It went bad and I thought I was a Jedi all of a sudden, you know, and this was like a test to become a full Jedi. I thought I was a wizard and I was being tested, like if I could deal with this poison. It was very stupid and scary. And then of course I fell asleep, passed out around like 6 a.m, slept for most of the day, woke up and I was like, okay, I broke the fever. Normal, you know, so I'm like, okay, I'm on the upswing, lost one day. But then Friday I was up all night, the fever came back, and that sucked. and I watched Made in America, the O.J. Simpson documentary that I've been talking about the last couple of weeks on this. I rewatched it, and that's a 7-hour docuseries. It just hit, like, landed on Netflix, I think, to celebrate O.J. Simpson's passing. And I watched that, which when you have a fever and you're not feeling good, really don't recommend that. It's a very dark journey. It's a very dark journey when you are not feeling at your best. Not that you want to feel at your best to enjoy the story of O.J. Simpson, but I watched that, fell asleep around like 6 a.m. Like, I watched the sunrise. I was looking at the Empire State Building, and I watched which was kind of beautiful, but in the moment, you're not appreciating the beauty because you're just miserable, and you're, like, shouting out to the heavens. You're like, Mom, help me fall asleep if you're up there. Please, please. Saturday, the same. I just felt horrible. And then finally today, went to the doctor and, you know, tested negative because I kept testing for COVID negative. Tested for COVID negative there and negative for flu. What I do have is sinusitis. So I'm on a steroid and an antibiotic. But it makes sense too, because then I was just thinking, I got that LASIK surgery and that affects your, like, nasal passages. And then I went to Vegas traveling all around. So the bacteria, by the way, I don't know why I'm telling you like you're some journal here, but I just wanted to explain. But I'm so sad because my dad's here and we had to cancel so many things. And he's still having, I think, a good old time. He's been going out, walking around New York by himself. And he actually stopped into a bar on Saturday during the day, and he struck up a conversation with some people. He's like some other older people, and then other people joined. And the girl there listens to the show, knew who he was. How amazing is that? I was like, oh my God, I must still be feverish, because that didn't even make sense. And he's like, here, this is one of your listeners. I thought he was joking with me, but he was real. Isn't that crazy, you guys? Anywho, all of this to say, thank you for all the messages that I have not gotten back to at all. This really took me off my game in a different way, and I feel like I'm so behind, even though it's only been a couple of days. It feels like it's been a year, 2 years, 3 years. But hoping to get back to normal. This is going to be a rocky episode, so I hope you enjoyed. Hopefully it's silly, and hopefully there's some laughs, but I'm about to talk to Sophie, and we'll see. I'm already sweating profusely doing this, so you know it's going to be a good show. So without further ado, if you... Also, please leave this podcast 5 stars. without further ado, the one, the only Sophie Ross.
Folks, summer is just around the corner, so it's time to say goodbye to those jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. Now, I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily, I found Quince. Now, I have a lineup of timeless pieces I want that will keep me looking fresh year after year. I got a pair of tan shorts. I got a pair of green shorts. I cannot wait to style these for summer. And I gotta tell you, the quality is great, because Quince has all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sobad.
We've all had embarrassing BO moments. I'm sure everyone has at least one memory from when they were a sweaty, hormonal teenager forgetting to put on deodorant in the morning, and the horror of finding out the hard way. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about BO again. And our listeners can now receive a special offer. New customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code SOBAD at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. It makes you smell clean. It goes on easily and it keeps you smelling fresh for so much longer than any other deodorant. The biggest difference, Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. It's baking soda free and paraben free and pH balanced for safe use below the belt. Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid
stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like, you know, mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code SOBAD for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code SOBAD at LumiDeodorant.com.
Folks, I told her that she's going to have to do the heavy lifting on this one, but we'll see how she manages to deal with my sweaty, sick ass right now. By the way, and also, I feel very bad for her up top because I think somebody got married this weekend that is going to outshine her wedding, which I just got to save the date for this past week, which is very exciting. We'll talk all about this in this next hour. The one, the only,
not where you were... The royal wedding.
Were you at Nick Vialli's wedding?
Nick Vialli's, unfortunately, no. And we accidentally scheduled our flight for an airport 2 hours away, and it was at 6 a.m.
So why would you do that after a wedding? Because did you like drink at the wedding?
Because we're dumb, and the destination was kind of expensive and hard to get to. And we ended up leaving straight from the reception to go to the airport.
Oh,
basically midnight. Yeah. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. But like, I'm a year baby, but yeah, that's why my voice is a little raspy. I just woke up from a 4 or 5 hour nap. So
well, that's amazing.
At least there's that. And Ryan,
no, you look fine. I mean, I look like death warmed up. I will say, I think I've lost a couple of pounds from just like sweating my ass off from being sick the last couple of days.
Oh God.
But yeah, it's been a miserable couple of days. So.
And how was your birthday?
I mean, I was sick on my birthday, but it was great. I mean, like, you know, went to Central Park, rode the carousel, which was lovely. I went to see Enemy of the People with Jeremy Strong, the play from Succession.
Oh, how was it?
Loved it. But I'm like a huge theater nerd. My dad loved it. We all loved it. It was awesome. And the only thing that sucked was that, like, you know, when you're sick and you start getting sicker and you're like, oh, I'm sick. Like, that was the only thing.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, and then you're like, oh, you fool yourself into thinking if I get a good night's rest, I can knock this out. And it just didn't happen. And then ever since Thursday night, like, I was delirious. I had a fever of, like, at the highest was 103.2. And I was like delusional. I thought I was a wizard at one point.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's high. That's pretty high.
Oh, it was
high.
Really high. No, it was insane. And then it was really wild. And it was one of those fevers that it doesn't even let you sleep. So I watched.
Oh God.
Like, I watched 7 hours of this OJ Simpson documentary on Netflix, Made in America, which I've talked about before.
Yeah.
I decided to turn that on. And I just watched the entire thing in one sitting, one laying down.
And haven't you already watched that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Years ago. And it's really not the thing to choose to watch if you're sick. Like, it was, but I was so sick that I was like, you know, when you're so sick, you don't want to move and your body aches. So you're like, you don't even want to like turn to shut it off. Like, Netflix kept playing the new episode and I kept not falling asleep. And then all of a sudden, you know, OJ's out of jail.
One thing leads to another.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know how much sense I'm making, but let you know, here's the deal. Let's get into this. I brought up your wedding because I'm not as up on pop culture this weekend because I've not been on my phone nearly as much as I usually am. But from what I can tell, this Nick Vial, the podcast god, got married this weekend, and it looked like there was a couple. It looked like it was a destination wedding.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to ask you and just please tell me yes. Is one of the nights at your wedding going to be a Western theme?
The whole weekend is a Western theme.
Fuck like, yes. Because I was like, I have a bolo tie. I like have a Yellowstone hat. I was picturing, I have like rhinestone jewelry.
It's so funny also because they spelled y'all wrong on their like sign. It was like, howdy y'all. Welcome to Nick and Natalie's wedding. We're getting hitched. And the y'all had the apostrophe like after the A.
I was so out of it that I thought they got married at Stagecoach because Stagecoach Music Festival's this weekend, the country music festival. And I was so out of it that I was like, wait a sec, did they get married at Stagecoach? Like, and then I was like,
something that they did. Do.
Well, that, and by the way, you guys, I'm not like, I make fun of a lot of things, including myself. I listen, weddings are a beautiful thing. I'm not ripping on the wedding. I did think Nick in a cowboy hat, like, I don't know Nick well enough. Like, is he a Western guy? Like, I don't know him.
No, he's from Wisconsin and lives in LA. No.
Okay, all I saw was a picture of him in the 10-gallon hat and the thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's a Western guy.
He was cosplaying.
Cosplaying. But I will say, oh, and the thing is, his wife, Natalie, just gave birth a couple of months ago, and she looked great for Gina.
Yeah, she looked amazing.
Why would you plan a wedding that quickly after you gave birth? Like, kudos to her.
I know. I think what it was, and I don't listen to the Vile Files, believe it or not, but I guess Vile Files that, like, they wanted to, just because they have family members that are older, they wanted to just, like, get a move on it, which is understandable. And she's from Georgia.
So it's her family's ranch.
I think it was her family's, like, ranch, like, near Savannah. I don't know.
Well, it was star-studded.
For someone whose arch nemesis is literally Nick Vialli, I've done a lot of reconnaissance and research on this wedding, if you can't tell.
No, listen, I figured, I was so excited to talk about this with you. I like Nick because he takes himself so seriously. And I, like, Mediza will send me clips, or a couple of people will send me clips, and it's always the seriousness in which he takes himself. Cause I'll be like, wait a sec, I make the same exact points. I just don't sit there, like, brooding the entire time of, like,
you're literally God's gift to Earth.
Well, that's the thing that I find very funny, but at the same time, it works, very successful. So congratulations on the wedding.
Do you think that you are God's gift to women?
I'm not God's gift to, like, any gender. Like, I'm not God. I'm barely God. I'm not God's gift at all.
Wait, what about this selfie? So my favorite thing is, like, tracking the like DILF selfies that Nick takes with his daughter, who's only, like, almost 3 months, maybe. Yeah. And in this one.
Ooh.
Sorry, you can see the reflection of my ring light, but you can see basically, oh, what am I doing? You can see the reflection of his ring light in the background of the picture. He has his baby staring at a ring light. His 8-week-old baby.
That's so funny. But you know what I will say? I want to be completely honest. I think, like, and I don't think this is, but I'm not a hate. Like, I think Nick Vial, a very attractive guy. I think he is extremely attractive. I do. Sophie's giving me a look.
Maybe, like, on Andy's season of The Bachelorette. Like, his eyebrows now are at, like, the Brittany Cartwright arch. Like, he's gotten a little.
We got to talk about Brittany too in this hour.
We need to talk about that.
But anyways, it was star studded. Katie Maloney and Dana Cathan were there. From Vanderpump Rules, Remy Bader, I think, TikTok influencer, was there. There was a bunch of, like, kind of random celebrity. Teffy was there. Victoria Fuller
was there without sans Greg because they recently broke up. I think she was maid of honor.
Ashley Iannacotta from The Bachelor.
Yeah, Ashley. The stars were out.
But I'm sure this is a load off for Nick. The big day is done. He can get back to ruling the podcast charts. But congratulations. The other big thing that happened over the weekend, one of the big things, so many big things, this will lead us into the Valley and Vanderpump Rules, was that the White House Correspondents' Dinner happened this weekend. They do this every year where all of, you know, the correspondents, all these different news outlets come together, and it's kind of like a half roast of political events, half honoring. And there's always, like, a weird hodgepodge of celebrities from the outside world that get invited. Last year was really exciting because Ariana got invited. Lisa Vanderpump was there. And they were riding that Scandoval wave, that initial. And so it was like, wow, good for Ariana. This year, like, no offense, but it felt like to go from Ariana to Jackson Brittany, what a come down. Like, no offense, like, but what a come down. Honestly, was that shocking to you?
Are they just inviting, like, the Bravo Leb of the day? Like, what?
But is Jackson Brittany the Bravo Leb of the day?
I mean,
like
no,
Dr. Wendy from Potomac was there as well. And I wouldn't call her the Bravo Leb of the day either.
Well, she also is kind of like politically adjacent because she's kind of a commentator. I feel like with Jax and Brittany, like I don't know. Like, I guess they're more relevant than they were a year ago because of the Valley. But like, other than that, like,
well, here's my theory is, okay, God. So we didn't get to talk about this last week. So the whole thing blew up. We still don't have the full story with Jax and Brittany's publicist, Lori Kay.
Yeah.
Lori Kay publicist. Okay. So Lori Kay represents Jax and Brittany plus a lot of other reality contestants, reality stars. Lori Kay has a full docket of reality stars, has been with Jax forever, picked up Brittany as a client as well. There's always been jokes and Reddit threads that like, I don't trust this relationship. It's weird. But I, you know, whatever. There's so many rumors out there about Jax. It's like, pick one, believe it if you want. But then Brittany unfollowed Jax and Lori Kay because Lori Kay was with Jax and her other client Tom Schwartz in Canada for an opening of something. Sandoval was there as well. So she like unfollows and I think blocks both of them. Then Jax retaliates and blocks Brittany. And then as of today or as of yesterday, Jax has unfollowed Lori Kay and has removed Lori Kay from his bio in terms of his PR person. But here's the thing too. The PR person is usually the person that would get you invited to the correspondence dinner. The PR person would be the person that would get you on that list. I don't think conspiracy here, you guys, but something is funky.
She
something
went out
is
swinging.
Really...
She went out swinging. Like,
but
she was like, you know what I can do for you?
Yeah, yeah. Brittany, don't hit me. Don't hit me, Brittany. I'll get you in the... Okay, I'll do it, but don't.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, no, isn't that weird, though? Or do you think it's
that
something...
That is. There's something afoot for sure. There's something afoot. And I totally believe that Jax and Lori Kay hooked up. Like,
but she has a family. She has like a husband, kids. Would you ruin it all for Jax Taylor? Would you ruin, like, honestly, he's a good looking guy, but would you ruin it all? Would you ruin your family for Jax Taylor?
No.
Yeah, by the way, I was going to give Sophie like 10 seconds to think about it. She answered immediately. She's like, no, absolutely not.
Nope.
But like,
but they've looked cuddly before in photos.
Yes, that was like, and but Brittany was like, oh, that's ridiculous. We know, you know, she's a friend.
She's like family.
She's like family. So I am so curious, but also part of me is like, everything, you know, it is so weird. And I don't think they split up because to promote the Valley. But I think everything is like so one and the same. Like it's so like, no matter how you cut it, they have monetized their own personal growth or like personal destruction. So like, if you sign up for a reality show, you're really signing up to ruin your relationships and your family in a lot of ways. Like, so I hope Jax and Brittany, I hope this has all been worth it. I will say Brittany seems very strong, like, but also it just seems like.
You think they're doing it for the bit?
No, like, I don't think they're doing it for the bit, but I do think Brittany really, wants this. And I don't mean I don't mean Jax. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a TV star. There really isn't.
Wanting the limelight. Yeah.
But I don't even think she wants the limelight. I just think she wants to be a part of it all. And I think when she was a part of it for a couple of years and it got taken away because of her husband, I think that really hurt. And I think this is like a chance for her. And but it is one of those things. And I think, since she does have the limelight, she's not potentially hurting as much, like, or even publicly, because she has kind of this show. And by the way, The Valley's excellent. You like The Valley as much as I do. You like it more than Vanderpump,
right?
Oh, yeah,
I love The Valley, unfortunately.
This is the first week that I enjoyed The Valley way more than Vanderpump Rules.
Also,
I know you said that from the beginning.
I was like when I'm like doing my makeup for this podcast or like touching up a little bit, I'm like, okay, what are the things that we're going to like talk about? And I'm like, I do not fucking remember what happened on Vanderpump Rules because it's been so boring. Like I'll be like looking at my phone and I don't even realize that I'm like not paying attention because it's that.
Let's get the season over. Let's get it over with already. Let's go.
Right.
But The Valley.
But The Valley.
It's just, it's a perfect mix of like,
the Valley
characters
is
that we know, new characters that we don't know that are like horrible, like Jesse and Michelle Lally.
Yeah, Jesse is awful. Michelle also awful. Kristen, I mean, awful too, but in a way that we love, in an endearing way.
No, yeah, like everybody, and you got Luke, the fish out of water, who's just like a horn dog. He's like, when can we get back to fucking? Like, yeah. Well, you know, you don't need any of these people.
He's always like red and like wishing he was like fishing.
By the way, if I was hanging out with Jackson, I'd probably wish I was fishing as well. The big revelation, and I like just from a humorous point of view, the biggest thing that I can't, even when I was at my sickest, I just kept thinking about Jax Taylor going into the garage with a spray paint can and spraying his bald spot. I was like, that is so perfect. Like that is so perfect. And I did not believe the bald spot. I thought he was just lying for the money. And then I looked up Jax Taylor bald spot and he does have a bald spot. Did you look it up?
I already knew he had one. I knew he had one. I knew.
Well, like you just knew it like in your soul. You just like, felt it
in my heart. Like I,
you knew it.
The fact that he's been like balding a little bit is like, I mean, it's been satisfying to watch. Like, if you've been paying attention, like it's I have. Sad.
But he has such a full frontal. It's in the back where you don't think it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what
I love that he gives Brittany a hard time. And then he goes into the garage and he's using like a spray paint can on his head. Like, how could you ever give Brittany a hard time about anything? Even though I will say, try to count how many times Brittany takes a shot in the background of scenes on the Valley. She'll like throw down shots in the background.
It's like not okay. It's like,
well, I remember Maritza was pointing out, like, remember in Vanderpump Rules when her doctor was like, told her not to stop drinking?
Yes.
It like affected her.
Stop drinking. Yeah. She had like a hole in her stomach from like drinking tequila too much and like literally wouldn't stop.
I want to see her at the White House. I didn't get a look at any of their stories last night. Was Brittany throwing down shots at the White House correspondent?
Obviously.
Her with Biden. He's like, rotten hell, Biden.
Rotten hell. But yeah, there's something. Like, at first I was on Brittany's side with the, you want another kid? Acts like a mom. Like, with that, like, not good. I was on Brittany's side. But I will
you
say.
You switched?
I mean, I'm not on Jax's side, but I can understand more. Hate that I'm saying this. Can't believe I'm saying this. I understand where Jax is coming from because her drinking is definitely like, it's a lot. Like it's a lot.
But I totally agree with what you're saying. And I think you're probably correct in terms of, but the thing is, and it's like a battle of like two evils is that like Jax is doing the same behavior, but since he's the man, it's okay for him to do it since he's the papa, he's the father, the daddy.
I mean,
so the mommy has to take care of everything at home. Like, I feel like it's bullshit gender rules that we still fall into. Like, listen, none of them are like, it seems like great, but the fact that he's trying to make her feel guilty when his behavior is, I mean, he's riding a golf cart around like Sherman Oaks, like cranked up on sugar-free Red Bulls. And like whatever, like spray paint in his hair. Like
That's fair. But I feel like we've seen more of Brittany actually getting like belligerently drunk, apparently. And we've heard more anecdotes. But again, it's like that might be because she's a woman.
Well, and the anecdotes we hear about Jax is like he's fucking his PR agent.
I know. Why am I acting like Jax is like.
No. But I get what you're saying, because I will say I do even like the little. You know, the handful of scenes that we've had so far in the Valley, she does. It is funny. Like, I do catch her ripping shots a lot in the background. And I think, listen, I love that. Like, I want to, you know, I want to be in my 20s forever, live forever. Yeah. And you could tell she's like so used to be like cooped up in a house with Jax. The other thing about the Valley, I found it like sad and
like,
funny.
Can you blame her? Like,
no, like, but it's sad and funny that like when she goes into the Jax's saloon, She's like, I got so many thoughts. You know, who do I email my thoughts to? And Jax is like all quiet. And you just get such a sense of what the relationship is. And then they sit to have a scene where she's like, you got to romance me. And you can tell Jax, like, I truly didn't really ever give credence to the theory that people go on these shows on purpose to get divorced. But I'm starting to believe in that theory fully and that Jax Taylor fully signed up for this. A, to get back on top, and B, to get divorced. Like he wants it.
He's pulling a Kelsey Grammer. Where
brilliant. Yes. I'm so dumb. You're right. He's pulling a Kelsey Grammer, but at the same time, he doesn't have that NBC Frasier money. He just has old Vanderpump Rules and they don't get residuals. So he's going to get back. Like, just imagine next season of The Valley, which they're going to announce a season two pickup any day. You're going to have Jesse and Michelle Lally no longer a couple because Michelle Lally is dating somebody else, confirmed now. Jax and Brittany are, that's the other thing too. Sophie, if you are, like, Jax does not seem to be trying to fight to get her back at all. No. He's like, get out of my house. Take our son with, I don't care. He's co-parent.
He's over it.
Oh, he doesn't, like, so it does, but at the same time, would you be able to do a White House correspondence dinner red carpet with your ex? Like, would you? And it's so fresh that I feel Brittany is being like, I don't want to keep using her gaslit, but like, is she being like talked into that this is normal and this is okay? And she's just hoping that he'll come around, or is she over it too? And they just both want out.
That's a good question. Actually, I feel like they both, like you said, they both want to be TV stars. So it's like they're kind of doing what they have to do. I don't know. I feel like she sounds like, from the 75 TMZ interview she's given, that she's kind of over it a little bit, at least, where she's like, there's only so much I can take. How much can I take? Like, I feel like she's maybe coming to terms with the fact that she deserves better, which she does.
She does. She does.
So I think maybe they're both in the acceptance phase. I don't know. Like, I really don't know. It's such a weird fucking dynamic.
I've said this before. When I went to Jax's Saloon a couple weeks ago, I saw Brittany in person, and she is so pretty in person. Like, I'm not joking. Like, because I will say, like, I feel like they caught her on The Valley in between some weird facial surgery stuff.
Yeah, she had just gotten her chin lipo.
Yeah, but it, like, it gave her this permanent, like, downward grin.
Which, and by the way, chin lipo has been, ever since I got my, like, engagement photos back, we did a little photo shoot. I'm like,
Sophie, you have no fucking chin. What are you talking about? You have no fat in your
chin
at all.
It's funny. I talked to one of my girlfriends who also saw her engagement photos and literally did get chin lipo from her engagement photos. So I can imagine if you're on TV, like, and if you're seeing yourself, like, candid all the time.
Oh, I would.
Oh, my God. I get it. Like, I get it. But her upside down mouth, which I guess was a side effect of the chin lipo and isn't as upside down today.
No, it looks great. Well, they have two talking heads for, like, all the Valley people. One, I think, from the very beginning. And Brittany, like, has, like, the downward thing. And, like, it look. But then there's one where it's, like, it's still messed up, but then it's all pulled back and, like, the eyebrows are all.
It doesn't look like.
It feels like they rushed. Like, it feels like they were trying to get this on the air as quickly as possible. Yeah. And so, like, it's one of those things that I don't think they even expected to be filming. So, like, the first episode, Brittany has her whole face wrapped up in a gauze, which is, like, that was, like, the first thing of her coming down with her face wrapped up in gauze. Anyways, I'm just so, it's a great show, but at the same time, there's so much pain. Like, it's not like it's like this fun jaunt that's why it's so much better than Vanderpump Rules. It's just that, I don't know. It's just like, it's like new and interesting. It's a shiny new toy.
Henry, actually, my fiance, decided that he hates watching The Valley because it's all like old married couples that are miserable. Not old.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't watch this leading up to the wedding. No.
Yeah. They're miserable. And he's like, why do we have to watch this? Like, they're all like,
Henry. See, Henry has the right idea. Dude, that's a real man. That's a man of saying, like, hey, we don't have to be like this. And in fact, I think this is not good to even put this in our heads.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm detached enough where I'm like, hey, I can enjoy it. And he's like, this is terrifying that this is like what marriage can be.
what do you think about Janet and Jason? Janet Caperna and Jason Caperna.
Wait. Janet and Jason. Janet. I don't know. I like Jason. Janet, I'm like, she seems,
it's
like,
interesting how they're positioning her, or how the doty Janet of it. Like, that's the other thing exciting about this. Like, knowing them from before and knowing them now, like, I just didn't, it's like fun to see the TV show dynamics play out. and they are positioned against each other. And it is wild because I think people underestimate Doty. I think people underestimate how much the audience wants to see mess. Because you would be like, well, this is crazy. Like, this is, you know, and it's like, yeah, man, it's a really weird thing to watch. And I'm curious if at the end of the season, we're going to have a full showdown between Janet and Doty.
Janet definitely seems like not a puppet master, but she's like pulling some strings.
No, I've called her like, I know her in real, cause she, I feel like she's an operator. She's somebody. Yeah. And I meant that when I first said it, like when the show first started, she connects people with people. Like she's always been really nice. I mean, but I will say, I think she also has a ton of information about everybody. And that's why I think she's great on the show, because in seasons from now, she knows what all of those Vanderpumpers have done to each other. She knows shit that we don't know. She knows shit. Like, I mean, it's really, really wild. So I think it's just great casting. Uh-huh. The Jesse and Michelle Lally, like the fact that we already got a fight in episode 6, that this Jesse Lally was pushing everybody. Zach almost, his wig almost flew off.
That was actually like, I mean, it was amazing, but it was also like scary.
It was like, very scary. He just saw red. He was just going for Luke, and he would push Brittany out of the way.
Girls and gays, like, girls oh my and gays, God, yes. That was not good. I mean,
no, it's not good.
It was good to watch, but like concerning.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Yeah. Very concerning. But yeah, Vanderpump Rules.
Did we ever find out who the director is? Because I was reading online that like maybe it's Quentin Tarantino.
I was reading that too. I was reading Michael Bay. Then on, I think Watch What Happens Live, I think Janet actually said she was representing that person. She doesn't think actually anything went down. We also found out in this episode of The Valley, though, she did have a boy. Kristen lets it out at the very end. The thing she was trying to protect was that she did have a boyfriend a year ago, which is so amazingly hysterical that Doty's like the thing that she's protecting her friend from. She like reveals in a talking head at the very end of the episode. It's brilliant that she had a boyfriend a year ago, but it's like, yeah, no shit she did. She like, we found out the episode before she got an apartment and Jesse Lally talked her out of it. Also, Jesse, if you're listening, dude, you don't like her at all either. Like you don't get points in heaven for staying in your marriage unless you do. And then I'm totally fucked. But like, you know, you don't get points for being, you don't get points for being miserable. Just, and also your daughter's going to know you're miserable. Your daughter already picks up on it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of like the darkest part of the valley is that there are like kids involved and they're just like such dark marriages and partnerships. It's dark, but it's fun at the same time, you know?
It's dark, but it's fun.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like it would work, but it does.
It does. Vanderpump Rules, it was, like you said, it was like we're getting, I thought this week was the season finale because I was told a 14-episode season.
Wow.
And then at the very end, they didn't give us next week on the season finale. So, because I know they go to San Francisco, so I'm guessing they put San Francisco into 2 episodes.
I can't believe that it's about to be the season finale when I feel like literally nothing happened. Like, what happened? And I know this might.
What else is gonna happen besides Scandoval?
Well, right, but like, I know that's probably recency bias. Like, we just had like the greatest like scandal and most entertaining season because of it. But like, I don't know. I feel like literally, like, what happened besides Lala's water tasting? And like, well, everyone,
I like you said Lala's water tasting. She also is getting inseminated. We had the
her sperm.
I like that you put the water party above the sperm party. Like, you're like, the water party. Well,
I couldn't believe I was watching a water tasting on Vanderpump Rules.
You had the Sheena nanny situation. You had Tori, the former nanny of Sheena's and Sheena's friend, have a love triangle with Katie and Schwartz, which is weird. You had the Joe, my gosh, Kaylee Joe.
That's true. There was Joseph. Joe was definitely a highlight.
Joe is sorely missed.
She is.
They should do a Joe funeral like they did Dog the Lizard.
They should do a Bet It All on Brassy Blonde.
By the way, I'm in New York and the billboards are everywhere. Joe is taking over for Ariana in Chicago. It's Just Joe in Chicago, the musical.
The name on everybody's lips is gonna be Joseph.
By the way, that's what I'm saying. Vanderpump is like, it's the victim of its own success. So I said this at the beginning of the season. They just need to get this season out of the way so they can get back to normal. And find out what the show is going to be at this point, because I don't even think the cast knows. Lala is like swung so wildly. And I think potentially wrongly, I think she keeps thinking she was like shooting the right way. And unless something happens in these last two episodes that completely changes everything I feel about this season, I feel like Lala was so dead ass wrong.
Yeah, she was.
It would be wild. And I don't think she needed to do it. If she was even trying to save the show, the show didn't need to be saved. It was going to be what it was regardless.
It would be way more successful of a season if they had been going after, spending that energy that they were spending on Ariana, going after Sandoval.
Exactly. Like
that would have been satisfying. Watching Lala, like, that was the most entertaining episode of the season, actually, was when Lala bitched out, called him a groomer on the boat. And where was that energy? Like, at all after that, Ariana. And I'm like excited to see how it all apparently comes to a head at the reunion.
I am excited for the reunion. I think that's actually, I'm really looking forward to that. I also found it interesting that this episode, we're getting so much of Brock's backstory. Like, it's been like, Brock, like, I was raised next to a pig farmer. Like, we're getting so much Brock backstory that I was like, this is hysterical. Also, I wanted to point out what I think is great, and unfortunately we can't talk about, or Lala can't talk about on the show, but this came out on Friday. Lala's ex, Randall Emmett, I don't know if we remember him, directed a new John Travolta film under a pseudonym. So Randall has now, he's not only producing shitty films, he's continuing to direct them, but he's not directing them under his name. He has a pseudonym. And his pseudonym is just Ives, I-V-E-S. So it's like Madonna, but it's like Ives.
Like the scrub.
Yeah. Ives. But also, what a way to like go under the radar. Like, just like, you could have gone John Smith. He's like Ives. Like, that draws more attention. Like, who the fuck asshole, like, is this?
It's Ives. Or Zendaya?
Ives.
But it's funny because like at first you're like, oh my God, he just like loves his craft so much. Like, he loves his craft. Like, even though he's canceled by Hollywood, he just can't stay out of the writer's room and like the director's chair. It's just what he was born to do. But you know that he is just taking it as an opportunity to like scam another, like John Travolta. I don't know. Is he still?
John Travolta's there? Like, it's so weird. Sandy. Oh, Ives. What's up, Randall? It's me, John Travolta. A wop bop loop bop. A wop bam boom. Randall, what are you doing here? Yeah, no, it's so bizarre. Ives. Like, what a way. Like, if I literally said the director of this film was Ives, I would be like, and what's their last name? They'd be like, no, that's the whole name. And then I'd be like, oh, what is this guy hiding? And then it's like, oh, it's Randall Emmett. And then you just gave me another thought. What if Randall Emmett, everybody's saying Lala wants to get on the Valley. Let's put Randall Emmett on the Valley. He's got two kids, three if you count Ocean, right?
Ocean.
Put Randall on the Valley, because you have the Randall Jacks falling out. So season two, Randall's like, Randall calls in Jax for an audition, but Jax only knows the director's name is Ives. And Jax is like, what's up? I'm here for an audition. And he's and it's Randall. He's like, what's up, Jax? He's like, I'm looking for Ives, not you. And he goes, I am Ives. And then they rekindle their friendship. I could see that happening.
I think you're onto something, actually. Like, that could be really good, actually.
Well, Randall also seems kind of thirsty in the sense that he wants reality TV as well. Like, he always said, like, he was doing it to support Lala.
Yeah, but
I think he loved it.
For it. He was, like, a serious, like, Hollywood producer. Like, he couldn't stoop that low.
Everybody says they're too good for it until they get on it, and then they can't. Then they want to stay on it.
And then they
want to, like,
quit. What is it about? Yeah, it's like they yeah, exactly.
So yeah, Randall Emmett for season 2 of The Valley. Also,
do you think that Lala and Sheena, like, do you actually think that they're gonna end up, like, they both recently moved to The Valley, and it seems like The Valley is like the the new thing.
Like, I don't think I don't think they're going to be on the. I think there's a lot. There's going to be a lot of crossover episodes.
Cross pollination.
I do think. I don't think if it's even naturally thought out in their heads as much, but I do have a feeling once you have a TV show and then you have two TV shows, like, I bet Lala's calling Brittany to hang out more than she has in the past.
That's
you
so
know?
True.
Like, even if she's not even, like, realizing it, I just think she. I don't know. It's just a thought, but. I don't think the Valley needs Lala or Sheena right now.
No.
I just don't think they do. I think it would, like, you know, I think maybe eventually, sure. Like, you could literally put anybody on the Valley, but I like who they have right now. Like, make it with what they have. You don't need to, like, mess with that at all.
Like, even Zach and Jasmine, who are so random, they still, it still works.
No, totally. And I know a lot of people aren't even watching The Valley yet, so you're probably tired of us talking about it, but I just get on board. It's really interesting to watch. Also, more information about Randall Emmett. Go read Amy Kinneman's reporting in the Los Angeles Times over the last couple of years. I highly recommend her work in regards to Randall Emmett. Just really, really good stuff. Okay, in other news, Britney Spears, she is finally free of her legal entanglements. With her father, unfortunately, she has to still foot the bill for $2 million or for her dad, Jamie Spears. Like, she will not have to deal with legal proceedings anymore in terms of the conservatorship. But for some reason, her lawyer was not able to get Jamie to pay her back. So Britney had to foot her own bill to get herself free and had to pay for her father's bill as well. For lawyers for this whole battle,
that's
which is so messed
bullshit.
Up.
It's such bullshit.
It's really, really insane. But her lawyer, Matthew Rosengart, said, you know, Britney is finally free. You know, the work we've done was able to have her book come out. She was able to have a hit single with Elton John. She, you know, all of these things. But I can only imagine this will set Britney off again. I think she's already made a couple statements about this. I think it's just one of those things, like, how will you ever trust people again? I mean, just when you're family, it's just really, really brutal. So shout out Britney, everybody loves you. Shout out Britney.
When I find you, oh my god.
Oh, this is actually a big week for you though, actually, Sophie. And I find it interesting because Henry doesn't want you to watch The Valley, like, but Henry should also just take away everything from you right now, because Joe Burrow is single again from the Cincinnati Bengals. Is that true?
He is. What do you mean?
Whoa. Wait, I swear to God. I think it was like Dumois.
It wasn't just on Dumois.
Wait, do you hear Sophie typing? I've never heard her type so furiously.
Oh my God.
I just saw Joe Burrow relationship troubles. I swear to God, unless I was.
Oh, apparently they talk about it a lot on Wives of NFL Reddit. So I'm going to have to do my research.
Wives of NFL Reddit.
believe it or not, though, I actually like him and his girlfriend together. I know
they're done.
Like, crazy.
Oh yeah, here's Dumois. Joe Burrow, single and mingling, and it takes us to this post from April 26th. An exclusive source shared the following with Dumois regarding Joe and Olivia. The source stated, I have a close friend who works as an influencer. Her best friend's friend has been hooking up with Joe Burrow and spent time with Joe and Nick Bosa in Florida. She confirmed Joe and his girlfriend have been broken up for a few months. I don't know who that Bosa people are. But
that makes me sad. I almost like don't want to believe that.
You don't. Well, don't. It's just a blind eye. It's just don't believe it. You don't need
okay,
to believe it.
Okay. Thank you. And also, like, it mostly pisses me off because if he's hooking up with anyone, that's not his girlfriend. Like,
how dare you? How dare you? Somebody's got to look out for Henry. This is ridiculous. I saw that, but I figured you'd be so up on that already. That's wild. Okay.
I had no idea. Oh my God. Believe it or not, the Bengals subreddit, actually, they don't give a fuck about Joe Burrow's relationship status. They care about his stats.
Just dribble that ball, Burrow.
Exactly.
Just dribble that basketball, Burrow. Okay. So this weekend, it was 2 weekends of Coachella, and then directly in Indio, the week after, always they have Stagecoach, which is the country music festival thrown by Golden Voice, the same promoters as Coachella. And it always cracked me up because I would always go to Coachella and then my friends would go to Stagecoach and they would send me pictures and they would have the same weird Coachella art installations, but then you would just see like cowboys hanging out on them. It would just be very funny. But like now it's like, it's a huge thing. Like I've always said, pop country and country music in general is not my type of music. But I love fandom. I love concerts. I hope everybody had a great old time there. It's another kind of influencer event. It seems like it's kind of also hedging more towards not just country, but there was like Post Malone headlined one night, but he was doing country music. DJ James Kennedy played. DJ James Kennedy spun in Diplo's Honky Tonk tent. Yes. No, he, wow. But also DJ James Kennedy didn't play at Coachella. He played at Neon Carnival, which is the fest, which is the after party that Brett Boldhouse throws. So it's not like DJ James Kennedy will eventually get to Coachella. And now he has a good relationship, but Stagecoach, he actually played in Stagecoach. So
damn,
one step closer.
James.
But the big thing that I bring this up, because all weekend there had been this rumor that Beyonce was going to do a surprise set at Stagecoach. And it was very funny. All these people were doing all this detective work because they kept like flying Cowboy Carter banners over Stagecoach and even during Coachella. And they thought it was perfect because, you know, country album or like all of this talk, like Beyonce's performing, Post Malone's there. Maybe she'll do a duet with Post Malone. It would make a lot of sense. Everybody thought it was going to happen. Post Malone's set came and went last night. No Beyonce. Everybody was fooled. But I love the speculation. And there were so many Beyonce fans literally going, God, we were like, they're like watching the Stagecoach live stream. They're like, what is this shit? Like, they don't realize like this, like country music is very different than even Beyonce's album. Like Beyonce's album, like has country elements and I can see where it's going from. Like, I don't consider that a country album, but I love the aesthetic of it. I consider it a Beyonce album.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you recently say yes to marrying the love of your life? Do you have no idea where to begin your wedding planning journey? Has your future mother-in-law already made you cry? Have you gone through the whole wedding planning process and have some wisdom to share? The Betches Brides podcast is here to help you laugh or cry through it all. I'm Selena Kopic, and I'm the new host of Betches Brides. In this season, I'll take you along my wedding planning journey alongside my co-host and good bestie, Chelsea White. We'll swap wedding planning stories, answer your wedding planning questions, and be totally honest with you on if you're actually being a bridezilla or not. Betches Brides is here to help you not trip down the aisle. So be sure to tune into Betches Brides every Monday on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow at Betches Brides on Instagram for even more wedding inspiration.
But it was funny. I was watching all these TikToks of her fans going like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is going on? But yeah, no Beyonce at Stagecoach.
I feel like people like will try to manifest things like that by like starting rumors that it's happening. And I think now, speaking of Joe Burrow, I think that that's what people are doing. They're trying to manifest Joe Burrow breaking up with his girlfriend, and same with Beyonce showing up at Stagecoach. Like,
by the way, for the next 15 minutes for the rest of the show, Sophie will nonstop in her head just be thinking Joe Burrow thoughts. And I will bring up other news stories and she'll be like, you know, that's interesting about Lindsay from Summer House. It reminds me of Joe Burrow a couple of years ago, the great Joe Burrow one.
Oh my God.
Said, agree though. No, there was one time. No, I was like that with Daft Punk. This Daft Punk, like a great French DJ duo. You guys know Daft Punk.
Yeah.
But every year at Coachella, me and my buddy Nick, we would just be like, they're coming out. They're surprising us. They're like, they're good at, because they did like a surprise one year where they showed like the quick video for Get Lucky before it got released. Like, and all of a sudden, like lights went dark at Coachella, and all of a sudden we hear like this Daft Punk stuff. And me and Nick were just running like the fastest I've ever run in my life to get to the tent. And we thought they were like playing, and it was just like this like 1 minute video, but it was so exciting. And they were like, they're playing this weekend. They're playing this weekend. So every year we would joke like Daft Punk's coming out, Daft Punk's coming out. And then they ended up breaking up. But then it was so funny. Arcade Fire headlined, I think, the next year on a Sunday night. And they started off their set with Daft Punk coming out and playing Daft Punk. And then, but like, we were all so fucked up. We were like, Daft Punk. And then obviously it was a joke. It was just two random guys dressed as robots. But that's the thing with Daft Punk. You wouldn't even know. Like, they don't even, you didn't have to retire. Just like sell it to like, that's sell the robot costumes.
Yeah.
They can just put play on the like CD and go. Like, yeah. But it was so exciting in that moment.
Just play on the laptop.
Yes, exactly. Remember just push your buttons.
Yeah.
Pumptini.
Pumptini, Cosmopolitan.
Cosmopolitan. that was it. That's what happened this week. Jax and Katie getting into it. Jax was back. Jax was like angry at Katie Maloney.
Yeah.
Because of the rumors about cheating.
Yeah.
But how far we've come where Jax has to kiss DJ James Kennedy's ass now. Like, it's so funny. And like, the women are always making these great points, and the men are always just like, they forgive each other so easily. It's like almost we just accept that we're pieces of shit. And they were like, yeah, I don't know. It's all good. Anyway, what did you think of Summer?
Yeah. It's funny how fast they get over things compared to women.
Oh, it's scary. Like, I even shocked. I'm like, wait, why are you in the same episode hugging Tom Sandoval? What did you think of Summer House this week? Especially the last scene between Carl and his stepdad.
See,
that was really weird.
I feel like, and I'm not the only one here, that kind of like turned a lot of people on Carl, because it seems like he's talking about his relationship issues with everyone but Lindsay.
But
like,
Lindsay,
And it seemed like he was, and it's funny because someone posted like this clip on one of the Bravo Instagrams, and Lindsay was like, he should be a gardener in his next life.
Oh, I think it was, totally.
He was planting seeds. He was like planting the seeds to make it seem like, oh, Lindsay was abusive. And
well, can I say I like Carl in a lot of ways, but not unlike one Tom Sandoval. Pins and batteries, dude. She wasn't having sex with me, dude. No, I was going to break up with her, dude. No, we went to therapy, dude. All of these things that never came to fruition. But with Carl, you know, it's very interesting. We do have these film scenes where you're like, when you film a scene, like I try to explain to everybody, you know who's in the scenes, the crew shows up, you have a call time, the mom and the stepdad get mic'd up. It's not just, hey, let's see what comes up. Like, they know there's going to be a conversation about the relationship.
Right.
They know that they're there to capture something. It's still real, but they know they're going to capture something, you know? And by the way, anybody that can watch this season can see that these two people are not meant to be together.
Oh, it's amazing. Amazing that they ended up calling off the wedding. Like, mwah.
I mean, they really lucked out, because it just, I mean, imagine if they were married right now. That is not the person for Lindsay, and Lindsay is not the person for Carl. And I know that hurts probably, because they did have a deep friendship in so many ways. And it's really shitty, because to do this on national television, that's what I'm saying. Like, you monetize your personal pain. And it really sucks, because if you're in a relationship with somebody, you never would want this to be public. You would never want this to be public for people to like us, for like idiots like us to be talking about it. Like that just makes everything so much more worse. So much worse. Am I even making sense? Okay.
No, that does make sense.
Sorry, yeah. I'm just on so much meds right now that I can hear my voice echoing in my head.
Yeah, no, I mean like, yeah, it's sad. It's great that they ended up calling off the wedding. Because it's extremely obvious that they are completely incompatible. And it's interesting how the pendulum from one episode to another in terms of like whose side the viewers are on, because a couple weeks ago, people were calling for Lindsay's head and kind of like rightfully so, because she had, from what we had seen and how she was handling Carl's weaponizing his sobriety against him. But now it's like, wait, Carl, like, come on, you're talking shit about her to literally everyone but her. Like, she feels like things are at a stabilized point.
I think she said that on Watch What Happens Live, of like, it's wild to watch conversations that I wasn't a part of him talking about me. And that is really scary to like see your partner, because Lindsay wasn't clueless, but she was really in the clouds in a lot of her ways of thinking, of like, well, I'm committed.
Blindsided. Like, she kind of like, because at first we were like, there's no way you were blindsided. Like, this obviously wasn't working, but it's like, she kind of thought things were okay at this point. And yeah, he was probably counting down. He was like, well, you know, filming is going to stop at this time, and I feel like it needs to be on camera and blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
I think it's hard too, because it also intermixes like with the conversation about sobriety, and you don't want to ever like ruin the good work, the amazing work that Carl has done on himself in that sense. So you don't want to like, ever like, cause that's so important. And that's such a part of who he is and who he wants to be in the future. So it's like one thing to be like so wildly proud of somebody that you've seen like set a good example in that sense. But at the same time, it just shows how we all just make these real big messes. And then I do feel like at times he's using the TV show to get himself out of this mess that he has realized he put himself in. And if only Lindsay had said yes to a non-alcoholic bar, if only she had said yes, they would have been married. But it's like so funny. Like Lindsay, if you'd even like, a lot of people have very strong feelings about Lindsay, but it's like, She's never not been that person from the season
exactly.
one.
Exactly. She is who she is. And at least yes. And it's not like she like necessarily owns it, because she doesn't love taking accountability, but she is, and you cannot argue with this. She is authentically herself.
That's the one thing I agree when I listen to interviews with her, read interviews, like she's like, I get you know what people are saying, but it's like, Carl knows who I am.
Right.
Like Carl's best friend. Like he knows who I am. He knows. So like, this isn't a surprise to him how I am. If you think she's being overbearing to him, she's been that way from the jump. She's been that way even as a friend. Like,
exactly. It's very interesting. He knew who he was proposing to. Moral of the story.
What do you think?
And also, how funny is it that, sorry to interrupt, but before I forget, that he was making fun of her for only being an influencer, only doing brand deals. Like, that's not a real job. But like, isn't that like your job also?
Well, it's like so meta, because like you're also on a reality television show,
which is also kind of a job. Like,
yeah, I know. I like when we pretend we don't make money off the reality television show, but
yeah.
So the other big thing on Summer House was the Danielle Gabby with Balloon Guy Joe. And this is like one of those weird things where like, I understand why people are upset about Danielle, but at the same time, Balloon Guy Joe was into Danielle. Like, you guys might not like Danielle. Like, Paige might not like Danielle. I get all of that stuff, but Danielle's always been this. Like, I like when people get upset at people for being the exact way they've always been. Danielle's always been this way. And I'm sorry, if Gabby isn't going to put herself in the race, then like, Gabby's not going to hook up with Balloon Guy Joe.
Danielle definitely was like laying it on thick and saw it as a competition a little bit, which I can see why that would be very frustrating. The other thing is that I feel like Danielle, like, I would argue that this isn't how she's always been. I feel like, yeah, she's always been like kind of cringe and maybe like laying it on thick with guys. I don't know. It seems like she's going through it post Robert.
Well, yeah, exactly. But also, we've also always known her as Lindsay's ride or die. Like when she was on the show, and I felt like she was kept on the show because Lindsay, somebody needed to be Lindsay's friend because the rest of the girls in those house would like give her shit. Like they just didn't like mesh. So that's why Danielle, and then Danielle kind of got more of a voice. And then she had that one season where she was like, ride or die friend. We all held her up on this pedestal of like, everybody needs a friend like Danielle. And then Danielle kind of got like Winterhouse and all this stuff. And like, it was like, oh shit. Like she can be a little messy in relationships. The Robert thing happened, all of this stuff, but it's kind of interesting to watch. So I think Danielle, I don't know. Danielle's just cracking me up. Like also, but I don't want to hear people of like Danielle let like Balloon Guy Joe hit it on the first night. Like, give me a break. Like,
who cares?
All those Vanderpump guys hit it like on the first hour. Like, are you kidding me? Like, don't even like it. There should be the same rules for guys and girls. Like, nobody should be slut shaming Danielle for like hooking. Are you kidding me? We celebrate it when the guys do it on Summer House. So I go, oh yeah, did you see him throw that thing over the camera? Good. I could give a rip.
Exactly. I don't give a fuck about that. There are so many other things to criticize Danielle about.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, that I felt bad for Gabby. And also, like, where has Gabby been? This has been Gabby's like only like storyline the entire season, which I don't know. I don't know what that
I gotta tell you, I'm worried about. I really like Gabby a lot, but I'm just worried that she's not going to make it into the next season if it happens.
I've had the same thought because they had her like just not in any episodes for like several episodes in a row and nothing really like changed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
that's like super noticeable. But I will say that West has kind of given me the ick.
I will say it is interesting with the newbies. Everybody seems to have like reached a stasis level where they're coming back to Earth. And this next week's episode, we start to see that West is still talking to other girls, even though he's trying to woo Sierra. Now I'm an idiot, but I know that that's probably not a good thing. And then you're bitching and moaning that Sierra's not having sex with you. Thank God she didn't have sex with you. If that's what you're doing, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I can like see why Sierra's holding out because he's not really, he's like, oh, I like you. Like you're my alien girlfriend. But like what actual like serious conversations has he had with like his feelings for her? Because I haven't seen like, and they've apparently only been on like two real dates. Like I can see why Sierra is holding out and I'm glad she is because she clearly like, she doesn't want to get hurt. She's been burned before and she clearly likes him a lot. And so like that makes her nervous. And meanwhile, West is like, I'm just like,
I'm a warm-blooded man, dude.
Warm-blooded man.
God put this thing between my legs for a reason.
So, yeah.
West, I like West a lot, but he just seems like the human personification of social media. Like, he's just like that guy that's like, I'm going to say the quirky, funny thing. I'm going to dread. Like, he's kind of like just, he just reminds me of social media. I don't even know a deeper thought than that, but just like, it's just very social media to me. He just reminds me of that guy that's like, I don't know. But I like him. I just have a feeling.
Gen Z, even though he's not.
Yeah, exactly. No,
which is kind of a bad sign because that means that he's coming across as younger than he is.
Okay. Finally, Billie Eilish, you guys, is coming out with a new album, but she did a Rolling Stone interview this week that caused a lot of clicks where she talks about her sexuality. She says, I basically talk about sex anytime I possibly can. That's literally my favorite topic. My experience as a woman has been that it's seen in such a weird way. People are so uncomfortable talking about it and weirded out when women are comfortable in their sexuality and communicative about it. She talks about self-pleasure, how amazing it is. And then I'm trying to find the exact quote. Where's the quote?
Wait, basically, about how she masturbates in front of the mirror.
Well, that, and then the one that said, I finally realized that I want my face to be in a vagina.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's in the same.
I didn't read it. I was just going off of everything that was posted on social media, which was a lot.
Yeah, it was a great, like, she's so young and this is so, like, this is just
let her say, like, embarrassing shit.
Oh yeah, here it is. I realized I wanted my face in a vagina. Like, I didn't know. This is, it's just great because every generation needs this. She's so young. Like, you need to be brash like this. I'm trying to, okay, here it is. Okay. She told the magazine that she wrote some of the album before she had been with a woman, though she's been in love with girls for my whole life. Quote, but I just didn't understand until last year, I realized I wanted my face in a vagina. However, Eilish also expressed some frustration about her sexuality becoming a topic of discussion as she, quote, was never planning on talking about sexuality ever in a million years.
You're talking about it now.
So. I don't think that quote's going to help anything, right? Like, that's a pretty on the nose quote. Taylor Swift is like, holy shit, do I have to talk about wanting my face in a vagina? Like,
oh my God. No. I saw that Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter.
Sabrina Carpenter
surpassed. I don't even know what Taylor's like. What's like the biggest hit from her new album? Cause I honestly don't even know. Not
well,
good.
Fortnite is the thing. Single. But in terms of single, you know, Sabrina Carpenter's Espresso, her like highest charting, like, you know, streaming thing to date, big hit. But I will say Taylor Swift's album, one of her highest selling albums, 2.6 million in like the first week for the new album. But I don't even think, like, I've listened to it a couple times. I don't think it's filled with hits. I don't think it's like radio. They'll find singles to pull from it. But it's not. It's going to be interesting. And Sabrina Carpenter opened up for Taylor in a lot of her tour. But then Sabrina Carpenter also, Kim Kardashian hired her to do a Skims campaign. So it's like the Kim of it all is very hysterical.
I think that. And not only the Skims campaign, but her surpassing Taylor on the charts, that's enough for Taylor to be like, nope.
I would like to think that Taylor like has like the highest charting album of her career. That I hope she doesn't care, but
yeah,
probably does, right? She probably does care.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm in like less than a month, I'm going to be in overseas to see Taylor in concert.
Where are you seeing her?
My mind's blanking right now. Stockholm.
Oh my God, that's so fun. Jealous.
I've never seen her in concert. I'm so excited.
That's so fun. I love how I was just talking shit about her, but I'm like, yeah, I'm jealous. Like, that's
no, I mean, fun. Listen, and guys, like, if you listen to the show, anybody that we talk shit about, it's like, I still like them. Like, I mean, except for Tom Sandoval, but like, I genuinely like, but no, I'm so jazzed to be there. And Paramore's opening, which I'm excited about. Okay, guys, I gotta go sweat this out. I'm barely making any sense to myself. So Sophie, thank you so, so much. And people listening, I'm so sorry that I didn't get to any messages about my birthday. Thank you so much for even giving a shit. Like how that makes what a, you know, and I will say I was worried about this birthday because mom wasn't here the first birthday without mom. And it being sick really helped with that. I didn't think about it really. I just thought about being sick. Good. So it all turned out okay. So he goes, good.
Well, oh, Ryan, we love you. And by we, I'm using the royal we. No, all of your listeners. Sorry, guys, the edible just hit again. can I pretend that I'm like super sick? But all of your listeners, your community, all the people you make smile and laugh every single day. We just love you so much. And that includes me.
I paid her to say that, folks, literally. But no, for you, Sophie was like, from me and Joe Burrow, we'd like to say a happy birthday.
So by the way, about Joe, so like birthday, actually.
You know what's funny about your birthday? Joe has a birthday as well. Also, no, this is crazy. My dad, since I was like laid up, my dad went walking around the West Village and like was just like, I was like, go check out things. And he stopped into some like Yankees bar or something. I ended up talking with like an older couple and then there was like no seats and they put everybody together. And this one girl, the girl listens to the show. My dad like sent me a picture, goes, this is one of your listeners. I was like, no fucking way. I thought I was like, I was like, is this like, am I delusional again? But it was true. Like he was like, I was like, I was blown away. And I was like, don't
so cool.
I was like, don't say anything stupid, dad, please. Anyways, Sophie, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to you guys. And hopefully we'll be back to a regular schedule this week and we'll catch. Oh, yeah, we'll catch up with everything. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies. Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.